Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. The topic in today's edition is Latino folk tales, cuentos populares, popular stories, art by Latino artists, presented at the Las Cruces Museum of Art. To start the program, KRWG's operations manager, Edmundo Resendez, will read an excerpt from the book El Cucuy, a boogeyman cuento, in English and Spanish, as told by Joe Hayes and illustrated by Honorio Robledo.
Who hasn't heard of El Viejo Cucuy? Some call him El Cucuy de la Mañana. Some call him El Abuelo. Some say he looks like a shaggy black bear. Some say he looks like a giant. But the ones who know best say El Cucuy is an old man with a back as crooked as a bent cedar branch. He lives in a cave in the mountains. His right ear looks like everyone else's, but his left ear is big and red. And with it, he can hear everything. El Cucuy knows when children aren't behaving themselves. Sometimes he comes down from his cave in the mountains to carry bad children away.
My guest on this edition is director of Las Cruces Museum of Art, Lisa Pugh, to talk to us about Latino folktales, Latin folktales. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Lisa, when you think about Latino folktales, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I think there's just a strong oral tradition of Latino folktales in this community and around the state. There are stories that are passed from generation to generation, and most of them have a bit of a morality tale built into them.
And which of these would you think about?
In particular, La Llorona. It's very important locally. It was a warning that parents gave to their children from being around the irrigation canals or near the river to stay away because La Llorona might get you.
And what other type of stories would you think of?
Well, you have the boogeyman tale, El Cucuy. It's always a lot of fun. And basically, again, it was something that parents or grandparents would tell their children sort of as a warning to be careful in life where the boogeyman might get you.
And why would they want to scare kids?
I think just to keep them safe so that children would think about something before they actually went out and did it.
Now, this was parents and grandparents. Is this continuing in our community?
Oh, I think so. We recently gave a tour for middle school students at the museum, and you could tell they were fascinated by all of the children's books. And even at their advanced age of 11 and 12, it brought back memories of childhood of being read to.
Currently at the museum, up through November 24th, you do have the Latino Folktales Cuentos Populares, and that's an art by Latino artists and art illustrators. How did the students, how have they received these events?
They love the show. It's something that's very familiar to them, that they can relate to. And the older students in particular are looking at it as a possible career path. They can become artists and make a living drawing pictures to illustrate stories, either stories that have been passed down through the generations or contemporary tales.
So then you do see that this is going to be passed on to generations then. In what way?
As parents and families read to their children, it becomes a very fond memory for the children when they have their own children. And they can pass that knowledge along in a fun and entertaining way through a story.
Now, most of these Latino folktales were by word of mouth. Do you know any history about how far back some of them go?
Oh, storytelling goes way back into time. It was actually before written language. People passed knowledge through storytelling, and that is how they preserved their traditions and their history, was through the telling of stories and tales.
So that wouldn't be just in the Hispanic community, but in all cultures.
Oh, it's a universal trait to the storytelling. It crosses cultural boundaries. It crosses geographical boundaries. the storyline basically remains the same, but the name of the character or the situation that they're in might change just a little bit to make it more relevant to the area that the story is being told in.
Just like you mentioned about La Llorona and the irrigation ditches here, do you know of any other stories about La Llorona other than the local ones?
No, I really don't, because I'm from this area, so La Llorona is definitely the one that I'm most familiar with. We did recently show some work at the Museum of Art where the artist tied the story of La Llorona to the current border crossings over the river. And so he used La Llorona as the subject matter, but he used contemporary figures, a mother and her child crossing the river into the United States.
Very interesting, because it goes back, way back for the Spanish conquistadores. So then the story itself is evolving into modern day.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
And what about any other popular folk tales?
I think the boogeyman is obviously one that crosses many cultural boundaries. I know that I've seen different variations of the tale of Cinderella, the tale of Snow White, Red Riding Hood. They all transfer very well from culture to culture.
How did these events come to the Museum of Art?
Latino Folk Tales is actually what we consider a traveling exhibit. This is something that we made arrangements to rent about 2 years ago, and we built it into the schedule. As time passed along, we developed programming to go along with Latino Folk Tales. And luckily, here in New Mexico and in El Paso as well, we have many well-known illustrators who are nearby that we can tap for information. And many have agreed to come in and do programs for us.
So the first ones came, what, from northern New Mexico?
Yes. We had an artist come in from Taos area. Her name is Amy Cordova. And she did a reading with children, and she also did a retablo workshop. And then we had a gentleman come in from El Paso. His name is Jeronimo Garcia, and he illustrates books using clay figures. So he was able to read one of the stories that he has illustrated, and then he did a children's workshop so that they could make their own clay characters for their stories.
And one of the children's books is The Dog Who Loved Tortillas.
Yes.
So he had some clay tortillas there as well.
All of the figures are made out of clay, and there's a still photograph taken of each scene in the book.
Now, I understand there's several books available at the museum on Latino folk tales.
Yes, we created a small reading area, and we purchased all of the books from which the illustrations on display were made for. Plus, then we got a little bit carried away and purchased more books. So we probably have about 20 to 25 children's books available for the visitors to read while they're there.
And are they available for purchase as well?
You can purchase the books at the local bookstores, but we do not sell them through the museum.
At what time do you have the readings?
Saturday mornings, we have a reading at Brannigan Cultural Center, and it's probably going to be one of the books that is featured in the exhibit. And then whoever is in the reading is welcome to come over to the Museum of Art and do a family art project.
Do you have any of the students ever read?
Yes, we do. It's really a lot of fun. And it's great for the kids to be able to read the stories to other children.
And these programs then have been made possible in part with New Mexico Arts?
Yes, we received a generous grant from New Mexico Arts, and we also use funding from the city of Las Cruces to pay for these programs.
So what else can students or all the visitors expect when they come in to see the exhibits?
Well, along with Latino Folk Tales, we have pulled together another exhibit called Artist Illustrator. And that particular exhibit features the fine art and the illustration work of Gaspar Enriquez, Antonio Castro, and Gloria Osuna Perez, and her daughter Lucia Perez, We thought it would be really interesting for people to see both sides of an artist's career, that one side being the illustration work, which in many cases pays the bills, and then you also have the fine art as well. And they are just some spectacular pieces, and I hope people take advantage of this opportunity.
And also to continue with Latino folk tales.
Oh, most definitely. That particular exhibit features 12 award-winning illustrators, and it has received several awards that gives it a little bit of punch because people realize the importance of the storytelling tradition and continuing to read and how illustration brings a character to life.
And the Las Cruces Museum of Art is located?
We are located at 491 North Main Street, and we are next door to the Brannigan Cultural Center and the soon-to-be-open Museum of Nature and Science.
And are they sharing some of the Brannigan Cultural Center for some of the events as well?
Yes, we've collaborated on several of the events. Brannigan Cultural Center hosts a storytelling session on Saturday mornings, and once the children have finished hearing about the story, they come to the Museum of Art so that they can do an art project.
Now, is there a fee for entering the museum?
There is no admission fee for these programs. We also have a very active studio program where for a small fee, people can sign up for art classes.
And this is going to continue through Saturday, November the 24th at the Las Cruces Museum of Art and the Brannigan Cultural Center. Well, I really appreciate you coming down to Fuentes, to KRWG. Lisa Pugh, Director of Las Cruces Museum of Art. To end the program, Edmundo Resendez looks at the history of La Llorona, the Weeping Woman, a popular Latino folktale. Music by Perla Batalla will follow with her interpretation of the bilingual song La Llorona. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.
The story of La Llorona, or the Weeping Woman, dates back well over 500 years. And for over 500 years, the story has been retold in a variety of versions. But to understand La Llorona, it's important to know how the legend might have begun. Thanks to some early childhood memories and LaLlorona.com, I can shed some light on the legend. La Malinche was born in 1505 of a noble Aztec family. As a teenager, La Malinche served as a translator for Hernán Cortés, El Conquistador de México. It is during this time that La Malinche is seduced by Cortés and gives birth to two twin boys. The king and queen send a beautiful Spanish lady to convince Cortés to return to Spain. Like a modern-day telenovela, the Spanish lady seduces Cortés and convinces him to return to Spain with his two sons. Cortés tells La Malinche of his decision to return with his children and to leave her behind. La Malinche, now realizing the role she has played in helping Cortés massacre her people, prays to her gods for help. One of her gods appears to her and says, "If you let him take your children, one of them will return and destroy your people." The night before Cortés's departure, La Malinche escapes with the babies. Cortés's soldiers soon discover her absence and send out to find her. Upon arriving at the lake that Mexico City now rests on, the soldiers surround La Malinche. Just as they are at the brink of capturing her, she pulls out a dagger and stabs her babies in the heart, dropping their lifeless bodies into the water. La Malinche lets out a heart-wrenching cry, "Oh, mis hijos! Oh, my children!" Now, different versions of the story have been retold for over 500 years in Latino folktales to children about a weeping woman who wanders near bodies of water. The woman is looking to take misbehaving children with her to replace the ones she lost. The key to each version of the story is that you must be near a body of water. In our region, irrigation ditches will suffice. The key points to the story are simple, and true to the historic tale but with a telenovela twist, maybe even a little melodrama. In the modern day version, the woman in question has a lover, but apparently not a babysitter. You see, in the popular tale I grew up hearing, the woman leaves her children at home all alone on a fateful night to be with her lover. It is while she is in rapture with her lover that the children leave their home and decide to go for a swim in the nearby river. Except they drown in the river, or irrigation ditch. Of course, after learning of their drowning, she throws herself into the river crying, "Oh, mis hijos! Oh, my children!" and she too drowns. And this is the key to the story. She will forever spend the afterlife searching for her children on the banks of the bodies of water. Her cries, "Oh, mis hijos, oh, my children," searching in vain for the children she has lost. Here's what I don't get. Why is this story told to scare children? Shouldn't it be told to women or even men who are committing adultery? I think this is more of a cautionary tale to get their life in shape, not to scare a child who has to put away their toys. And why doesn't anyone mention the husband or the lover? Did the husband confront the lover? I'm pretty sure there are other people who might want to know. Or maybe I might have already missed the telenovela version of the story on the Spanish language TV channel my mom loves to watch. Either way, I know I have heard the cries of La Llorona when I've gone fishing along the Rio Grande. And don't try to convince me it's coyotes I'm hearing. That's just not as fun.
Las flores, Llorona, las flores de...